Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. That was big.
Dude.
That was big like Texas.
It was big.
That was big.
But it was like beyond how big it was. As big as it was even a little bit more fun. That was a fun game.
It was fun.
It was
fun.
And we talked about it yesterday, like, you know, hey, the over, I don't know what the number is, but it feels like 120 is going to be...
We asked for a buck 20. Turns out we needed a buck 30.
Right.
And they got it
from
30. I mean, that was one of those two, and I think that's just a juice boost to any Warrior fan. When you see that guy start hitting the way he did literally right out of the gate. But I'll tell you this, and this isn't anything negative at all. I hate it when they go up 17 in the first quarter. I can't stand it when they, because I know it's going away.
Well,
I know that's the NBA. That's the NBA. There was no doubt in my mind that Memphis was going to chip away, and that this would be a stressful game. And so I'd almost just rather it be stressful the whole time, because then if you lose that thing, we get the whole, like, you blew it. You had a 17-point lead, which means nothing that early. So that's kind of how I mean it. But I certainly don't mean it from the standpoint of, like, what Steph looked like in the first half of that basketball game. Just absolute the height of his powers. And I love Quentin Post at halftime. Why are you giving me a headset?
Totally right.
Like, what the hell did I do to be standing here right now? That was kind of what we were all thinking. Just beautiful stuff. And I, like, we've sat here for 16 years in this market talking about this man. There's nothing left to say. That's the only thing I have left to say is I don't get it. I don't even understand. I don't understand it. That's not a human being. That's AI. Not Allen Iverson. Like the future AI. I can't believe what I'm seeing when I watch him play like that.
It reminds me, and I'm thinking about that in terms of what you're saying, like where you watch something and you're like, How is that possible? And my first thought was Barry Sanders. When you watch Barry Sanders run the football, and he gets a little handoff, and there's three guys in front of him, and it's, you know, jab step, jump cut, whatever, juke, spin, and he ends up getting 14 yards on a play that should have been minus four. That might be the only one I can think about as a mental comp where you watch it and you go, wait, how? And Steph last night had 32 in the first half. He had 32 at the half. And I mean, if he didn't have 32, they might have been in some trouble because, you know, Memphis was getting everything they wanted and more. That game was not about defense last night, and I don't want to dwell on the negative. We can ask Steve Kerr about it at 5 o'clock. Like, defensively, what are we doing? Because it's been a little bit lopsided. But Steph with 32 at the half, and, man, Jimmy stepped up, and Draymond was good, and everyone.
Awesome.
Yeah, the whole thing was, like, incredible and needed.
Yes, except for, I mean, as you were going to say, Steph was great, and Jimmy was great, and Draymond was great, and period. That's the end of that sentence.
Yes,
and
but,
that scares you a little bit. It's okay for that to scare you a little bit. Moses Moody, I thought, was solid. I thought he had a solid game. And then outside of that, there were a couple of moments. You know, Pods with the putback there at the end.
Yep.
That was beautiful. Buddy Hield hit a big three. Outside of that, Buddy made everybody yank all kinds of hair out of their head.
Always.
That is just, that was Buddy ball. No question about it. Whatever. Quentin Post hit a few threes. Kevon Looney hit a three. So there were little moments here and there.
You can't guard him.
No, I mean, not from three.
Right.
Why would you? That's not on the scouting report, but maybe it will be soon. Anyway, bottom line is, phenomenal night for the Warriors. And I kind of threw this out there. Like, I think this is a cool Mo D day right here on 95.7 The Game. And I apologize for anybody who hasn't had their 40th birthday or maybe even 50th. You might not even know who the hell that is. Granny, right. Do you know? You believe you've heard of Cool Mo D?
I actually don't know.
You don't even know who. Okay.
He's a rapper from the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, from when rap was really getting started, man, okay? When it was really becoming a thing. And one of his classic beats is How You Like Me Now. And that's the question that I want to ask Golden State Warrior fans, which is, how do you like them now? And I actually, the reason I want to throw that out there, 888-957-9570. Yes, Steve Kerr joins us at 5, and it's nothing but you until then. So how do you like them now? I think there are a bunch of fair answers there. Last night was wonderful. It was convincing. It was a relief. It was a performance for the ages. There are a number of things you can say there. It has unfortunately solidified nothing. It has solidified nothing. But in this four-game stretch, we all agreed, had to have that one, and they got it. So now we start getting ready for tomorrow night, where they will play three of the top four seeds in the West in four nights and have to do some plane travel along the way, a back-to-back tomorrow and Friday night against past champions. It's all still really hard, and Russell Westbrook did not help late last night, and so this thing remains really, really tight. But you take last night for what it was. What a phenomenal, phenomenal performance. What a great night. And so what does it mean? What does that add up to how you like them now?
Yeah, you like them a lot. You like them a lot more than you did if they would have lost that game. And yeah, they were up 17, and you knew Memphis would make a run, and eventually Memphis got the lead in the fourth quarter, and you thought, oh boy, how can you do this? Like, Steph's going to go for more than 50, and you're going to lose at Memphis, like, with Jaren Jackson Jr. in foul trouble the whole way, and, you know, things were very physical, and you thought that, you know, Steph was so good that you can't possibly lose this game, and yet there you were, down late in the fourth quarter, and you pulled it out. So how do you like them now? You like them a lot, and, you know, maybe tomorrow as we take a second look back at last night, you start to think a little bit about, you know, the defense and the matchups and this and that, because there was a lot of things last night that were head-scratching, but right now you just bask in the win.
Well, give me some. What was head-scratching last night?
The inability to, like, guard the screen roll and the lob. Like, Zach Edey had a couple of easy lobs, and Ja Morant, as much as he is a flawed player as a leader, as a one, I do think that what he did with the basketball, some of the buckets he made, especially early in the game, it's like they have a problem guarding really quick, athletic guards.
Well, I mean, who doesn't have a problem guarding Ja Morant? That's like saying Memphis has a problem guarding Steph Curry.
Well, their
like
problem was their approach.
But they're very hard to guard.
They
like
are.
To the conversation when you guys were kind of talking about Memphis, like, how kind of dumb are you with the way you approach Steph Curry? Well, it's very hard. It's very hard. Like, I for 16 years, people have been trying to devise a plan to slow down Steph Curry, and so far they've come up with Bubkus.
Well,
so it's hard.
It is hard.
You know.
Different teams have different levels of success, and I do think that, you know, if I'm coaching against the Warriors and Steph Curry, I'm going to make sure that I send two guys his way every single time, and you can, you know, top block him, and you could deny him the ball, and you could make things a lot harder than Memphis did. Memphis kind of let him go about his business as if he was Seth Curry. No disrespect. Seth is a good player, but you're dealing with one of the best players in the history of the game and a guy who he's going to shoot a three from 23
wow.
to 43 or beyond.
And he got off to such a start that
right.
you would think, hey, maybe an adjustment at some point might be in order. But again, I thought, here's what I loved most about last night. We went into this thing and we pointed out, I think, what the Warrior advantage was in this game, and it's exactly what they utilized. They utilize their advantage. Because you can say, well, the Warriors stars went off. Well, so did the Grizzlies stars. They went off too.
Yep.
Ja went off. Jaren had a great game. Aldama had his moments. Like, the Grizzlies did fine. But what's the Warriors' advantage? Their brains and their leadership. And so, therefore, their approach. And I thought that's what won the basketball game in the end.
Yeah, and also three being better than two. And, you know, when you have Steph Curry making 12 threes in a game, that's a recipe for disaster if you're the opponent. And if you take out Steph's 12 for 20, the Warriors were 10 of 36.
36. Yeah, not good.
Not good. 28%.
No, there were moments in the game, I thought, where if you're a Warrior fan and you're super tapped in and you watch all the games, the thing you worried about was happening. Like late third quarter, early fourth quarter, good looks were being created for Pods
yep.
and Moody,
Draymond,
yep. and they weren't falling. And you have that thought go through your head, which so often does throughout the year. Can somebody else please make a shot? And with Steph out of the game early in the fourth quarter, that's when Memphis really kind of grabbed it and looked like they might win the game. And I can tell you, my little guy's looking at me. He's like, Dad, they got to put him back in the game. I'm like, well, they can't play him 48 minutes.
Right.
Somebody else has got to hit a shot. So he goes, hey, there's 8.5 minutes left to go. When are they going to put him back in? I said, probably about 6 or 7 minutes left. That's usually what they're shooting for.
Yep.
They're going to bring him back in. And thankfully, they did. And once he's there, there were a couple of shots, namely the Moody three, that get knocked down. And it calms you down a little bit. But some of the things that you worry about as a Warrior fan, I think, are still there.
For sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're on the road and, you know, role players on the road, as we've talked about. And Steph actually played the last 8 minutes of the game, 7:58. He comes in. And even at that, Steph in the fourth quarter wasn't good. He was 2 of 8. And 1 of 5 from three.
Well, he went record hunting. He admitted it.
Yeah, early.
This is his first two threes. Yeah, he went record hunting.
And
but
I love
anyway,
that.
Go ahead.
But, you know, go ahead and hunt the record. And, you know, it was a game that wasn't yet in the balance. But after he missed those two, he's like, okay, now it's basketball. Now I have to go out there and actually play. But the team, 3 of 14 from three in the fourth quarter. So even though you had the lead and you ended up outscoring them by 9 in the fourth quarter, it took a little bit more than just, you know, Steph being hot and the team being hot to win.
Well, I thought when you watched that fourth quarter, you got shades. I mean, everyone's like, ooh, playoff atmosphere. And I was like, and playoff performance. You watch that game and you can see in the fourth quarter, go back if you're a Warrior fan to Game 7, Warriors and Cavs, when both teams are just going back and forth, bricking threes, and they're all short. Nobody could get the legs to get the ball there because it gets overwhelming in that kind of an atmosphere. I would think it gets exhausting.
Yep.
The moment is very big. You're on the road. And so we saw a lot of that, I thought, from both teams, where there was a period of time where it was just empty possession after empty possession because it was a playoff game.
Yeah.
It's too much.
And the big difference, though, was you had Jimmy Butler get to the line and go 6 of 6 in that fourth quarter. That's kind of the difference. Yep. Exactly. So when Steph's not hot, you have a guy now who can get to the charity stripe and get you points for free.
All right. So how you like him now? Did this calm all the fears? Does this send the confidence through the roof? Are you still skeptical? We're going to play with this all afternoon long. Steve Kerr joins us at 5. 888-957-9570. We're taking your Warrior phone calls right now. 888-957-9570. It is a Warrior Wednesday, obviously, and it is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. This is Weathered and Dibs.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Bobby Fitz last night went with the nickname AirPods.
I liked that tip-in,
which the kids really enjoyed.
Yeah.
They really enjoyed that.
I like it, too. I would save that for when Pods dunks, if he ever...
I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Right, but the tip-in was, it was so, like, vintage Pods where he has no business being in there. It's like a kid swimming during Adult Swim. It's like, you don't belong here.
That's right, yeah. Don't come in here.
No, but he, like, he finds, like, the exact little nook and the timing, and just, I'm going to throw my little hand up there, and it's good.
Yep.
And by the way,
Angles are his game. Yeah.
What's Brandon's up? Dad, John, co-signed the AirPods nickname.
AirPods nickname. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good. Good. It's always good to have dad's approval.
Of course.
That's important.
Yeah.
Maybe before we take some calls and go any deeper into this, it might be fun to relive all of this a little bit. Grandy, did you put together a little something here about Steph Curry's 3-pointers?
Yeah, you want me to play it?
Go ahead. Right. So, 12 three-pointers last night.
Right.
This is a montage of all of them.
Curry weaving in traffic, stops on a dime with a dribble, runs through a Draymond pick, turns, fires, splash! Spins it out to Draymond, back to Curry. It's a relocation three, and it's good on the left wing. Curry backs up, shoots a deep three over Edie and hit it! Curry, left sideline. Stops and shoots a three right in front of the Grizzly bench and hits it. He is on fire right now. Butler in deep, draws a crowd, back to Draymond, hand off Curry, off the screen, it's a three and it's good. Curry knocks out another one. His fifth three, he's got a 19-point first quarter. Curry at midcourt, guarded by Aldama, takes a deep three right on the logo. Aldama didn't know what to do, so he backed away. And Curry said, thank you very much. Draymond leads the break. Draymond bounce past Butler, pass over to Curry. Curry in the corner, takes it away from Wells, and hits a three! And the Warriors could go 2-for-1 here. Curry, though, takes a quick three and hit it from the right sideline! He's got a 32-point half! What the heck? You don't need a 2-for-1 when you've got Curry! My goodness! That was ridiculous. Draymond sets the screen for Curry, who takes a three. It's up and good. What a smart play by Draymond Green. Frees up Curry just like that. Butler throws to Draymond. Hand off Curry. Curry takes a left side triple. It's good. He's got 38 now. Curry takes it down the middle of the floor. Stops and shoots another three. It's good. Straight on. His 11th three. Curry off a screen by Draymond. Lost his handle, gets it to Moody. Now to Pajemski. Back over to Draymond, to Curry. Left corner, lets it fly. Three ball, left corner pocket. Warriors take the lead, 121-120. Curry's got a 50-point game.
And best of the game is next.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
You want to do it tomorrow?
if it feels like that, then
shoot your shot. It's actually all they've got. And the last one, Mark, hits me where he hits his 12th three And it gave them a one-point lead.
Right.
121 to 120.
There's something about those kind of games. Like the 50-burger games are not blowouts because you don't need that. Like you don't need that kind of a performance from a guy unless the other team is staying right there with you. And so, yeah, just chalk it up as another completely special one. For anybody who was just listening to that, that was 2 straight minutes, just shy of 2 minutes. That's how long it took just to play the three-pointers.
Wow.
Just to play the three-pointers. And, like, at 12 of them, quick math, that means that Steph Curry scored 16 points outside of the three-point line. He had a good, solid NBA game without the three-point line.
It's so funny you put it
that way. 36 points just from behind the arc.
Yeah, and 8 that was from the line. So he made 4 other baskets, I'm being told. And of the 4 baskets he made, I would dare you to remember any of the 4.
I do remember a drive and a kiss.
Thank you,
off of
Bill
the
Raftery.
Glass. Yeah, late in the game, fourth quarter, final 4 minutes for sure. Maybe even final 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it was an answer to a jaw drive. Steph went down. But other than that, yeah, I can't remember many.
Yeah.
Can't remember many two-pointers.
No, I mean, and the team, in totality, 28 of 28 from the stripe.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Dude, 100%.
Of all of the stats of last night, go back to the beginning of the year when this was the worst free throw shooting team in the entire NBA. 28 of 28 last night from the line.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And I do want to give a quick 30-second shout-out to Daryl on BART. I was in a BART. It was kind of a nightmare. Full train.
This today?
This is yesterday.
Yesterday.
And, you know, I got on the train, and it was a delay. There was a train stuck in the tube. And so everybody who was waiting for an earlier train, we all got put into one train. And I'm like holding the strap, and I'm just, you know, trying to fight through it. And I look over, and there's a guy watching the game on his phone. And I look, and so now I'm like, I'm watching his phone with him. It's early first quarter, and now I'm clearly looking at his phone. And after like 6 minutes or 7 minutes of this, he takes out his earbud. He goes, "Dude, love your show."
Ah!
And I was like, "Oh, you know." So we do a little back and forth.
Okay.
His name's Daryl. So shout out Daryl, 19th Street Daryl. He got off in Oakland, and I said, "Don't go.
Don't go.
Please don't go.
Or if you do go, leave your phone."
Totally, dude. Like, I'll mail it back to you. But shout out Daryl, 19th Street Daryl. And, you know, we're watching the game, and it's like, man, this game is back and forth in first quarter. And it's like, oh, my God, the chef is like, he's already heating it up.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, this is, I cannot wait to watch this game. And luckily, Daryl's got it on his phone, so I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
And I guess I could have watched it on my phone, but there were so many people on the train that, you know, I'm holding on with two hands because I'm a little bit older and I got the bum knee. And so, like, I don't want to bring my phone out and do all that, but shout out Daryl.
You ever do that, like, on an airplane maybe or anything like that, like, where you're just like, I'm going to go ahead. It's kind of like, it's like cheating off of somebody else's test in high school.
Oh, yes.
But instead, it's like, you know, content, maybe a streaming service that you don't have or something like that. Just a little over-the-shoulder peek. It get a little bit uncomfortable.
It can.
Yeah.
Well, if you're on BART and you're on your phone and you're texting whomever, and, you know, it's like the phone is 8 inches from me, I'm going to read your text. I mean, I'm going to read it and, you know.
Don't do that. Don't get all up in other people's business.
Well, then put your phone away.
Watch a Warrior game. That's different.
Yeah.
Don't be reading the text he got from Anna the night before. Who
Daryl
knows what's going on there?
In.
Okay, oh,
he was
good.
Locked in.
Good.
And I guess he didn't mind me looking because, you know, eventually he's like, "Dude, love the show. I listen every day." So thank you, Daryl.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah,
appreciate you.
What up, Daryl?
Yeah.
What up, Tony? Let's go to the phones. How you like him now? What did this game do for you, Warrior fan? I want to answer that here in a little bit. But let's go to Tony in Concord. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Thank you for picking the call.
So,
I'm calling regarding the player called Drazen Petrovic.
Drazen Petrovic, yes.
You guys asked the questions, which player today would look like Stephen Curry? Now, I just wanted to say that Drazen Petrovic's mom was Stephen Curry's babysitter. And Drazen Petrovic played with Stephen Curry's dad. So Stephen Curry modeled his game after Drazen Petrovic because they used to play on their backyard. If you look at Stephen Curry's game at the college or the early par stage in the NBA, you are seeing carbon copy of Dražen Petrović. So now another thing is that quick release and the penetration to the game and all that is you look like you're seeing Dražen Petrović. Another thing is he died on an accident in Europe.
Yep. At age 28,
and, his career was short. I remember back home, he was Croatian, and we had a team where it was Dražen Petrović, Tony Kukoc, Vlade Divac, Dino Raja, and we were talking at the time, can this team play against one team in the college? And the answer was no, because the game was played physical, and we were thinking there is no chance that today's NBA European players could come to U.S. and play. But Dražen Petrović was the very first player that came to U.S., and he planted the seed. If anybody likes today's basketball, they should go and watch Dražen Petrović when he came here. He was playing against Michael Jordan. He was going with him neck and neck, which means if you put Michael Jordan and Stephen Curry today, I bet you Stephen Curry will go with Michael Jordan neck and neck as well.
Tony, thank you very much. Appreciate it. There's obviously, and you can hear it in Tony's voice,
There
is an unbelievable love for the player Dražen Petrović was. And Dražen was a great player.
Amazing.
A very short period of time. For those of you who don't know who that is, he did die back in 1993 at age 28, tragically in a car accident. He was coming off of a season where he had averaged just over 22 points a game in the league. And yes, he had only played in the league for the better part of about five seasons. Maybe not even that, maybe more like four. He played, I think, from about age 25 to age 28, had back-to-back seasons of scoring over 20 a game. He's a great player, and I have no doubt that maybe there was some inspiration involved in all of those lines, those bloodlines and whatnot that he just drew between Steph Curry and Dražen Petrović. But I'm also going to speak for a lot of you who are listening to that, and that felt a little overdone to me. Dražen was great and was up and coming. To start putting him on the plane of Michael Jordan, I feel, is not accurate, number one. And number two, the idea that Stephen Curry's game is modeled directly after Drazen's and therefore is a carbon copy, at a minimum, the only thing you could say is even if he modeled something after Dražen, he then took it to eight new heights.
Sure.
Like, I mean, that's we're not talking about the same level of players. Great
we're
player.
We're not. I do think that if he would have stayed alive and continued to play in the NBA for 10 more years, he would be top 50 of all time.
Great player.
He was, I mean, for me, just watching him play a little bit, he was a phenomenal player, one of the greatest players to ever come over from Europe at that time. And I'm looking at the 1992 Olympics, the Dream Team, and Croatia got the silver, the team that he was talking about. And they lost to the U.S. by 30 each time, by 30 in the group stage and by 32 in the gold medal game, which no shame in that, where it's, you know, maybe the best team in the history of basketball, the Dream Team itself. But Dražen was going to be that guy. He was going to be, you know, one of the greatest players, I think, ever to come from Europe. But when you talk about who Steph modeled his game after, look at his dad. And a lot of us don't remember his dad. Younger people don't remember Del Curry. Del Curry was one of the first early on three-point snipers.
Yep.
He was a guy who was an absolute bucket from the outside.
But see, when I hear that, I always get a little, not uncomfortable, like everybody's allowed to have their opinion, but I get very, very firmly against anything that sort of calls Steph Curry just a great shooter. Like, he's a great shooter. I you know, so if we're going to bring up any of these names, including Del Curry, and say this is who Steph modeled the game after, maybe at its beginning, but then you have to give the acknowledgement that maybe Steph started to perfect other things that even he at the beginning of his career didn't know he could do. What Steph Curry does inside of the three-point arc, I find incredibly, incredibly significant. His creation around the rim to be able to finish in front of people who are twice his size is incredible. Look at the rest of his box score last night with his rebounding and assists and his steals. This is a true, true all-around player who has clearly, to me, worked on his game in ways that very few do. And I do think found some things that he could do that maybe even as a young player he didn't realize he could do. So I'll buy all of these names as far as inspiration, but he has flown by them, galaxies beyond them at this point in his career.
He has, but at the end of it, when you look at his career to date, 47% of his field goals have been three.
Sure.
So, I mean, he is more than just a shooter because he's able to do things inside the arc, absolutely. But what sets him apart from every other player ever, and maybe going forward for 20 or 30 years, who knows? And I was looking at the all-time list of three-point shooters, and I don't know if there's a player currently playing who can catch him. Harden is right now about 900 behind him, and Harden probably won't play more than a year or two beyond Steph, even if he does. So I don't think he'll catch him. And you could talk about Trae Young, who is way behind him in threes. I don't know if there's a player currently playing who's going to get to 5,000 threes, because I think that that's where Steph ultimately will land. If he plays three more years, we did this before, three more years, he could probably get to 5,000 threes. And I don't know if anybody else currently playing can get there. And maybe the league that will change their rules, or maybe they won't. And we do know that the three ball is going to be shot more now than ever before.
For sure.
And so, yeah, he's more than just a three-point shooter, but that is the one thing that sets him apart from every other player ever.
Right, but I also think there's art to the way that, like, which three-pointer do you pick up? There are a lot of guys in the NBA who can stand in a certain spot, and as the ball moves, it gets to them, and they shoot a three, and they do it at a high level. Nobody can create a three-point shot in front of the defense, put people on skates, find open space, quick release, not even Clay. So this isn't about like some sort of a, you know, Golden State Warriors thing. Nobody creates a three with a 6'8", 6'10" guy standing in front of him the way 6'2" Steph Curry does. And that is a big part of what makes him special. I just think that, you know, it's kind of like going back to the crossover, what you guys were talking about with Memphis. There are all kinds of analytics in sports, defensive coordinators, defensive stoppers, big guys, small guys. Teams have been in the lab for 15 years trying to figure out how to defend this guy. Can't do it. And he's 6'2". Don't believe the bio.
Right.
He's 6'2".
I got him at 6'2" in the bio, actually.
Good, good.
Yeah,
I thought the bio might say 6'3". He is 6'2".
Well, and you know, as we all get older, we all shrink a little bit.
Now
so
he's 6'1".
He might be by next year. It doesn't matter. And what you're saying is, to me, the most remarkable part about it. And just watching last night, he made 12 threes, and he did it in 12 different ways. There were a couple of, like, 38-footers,
yep,
catch and shoot, dribble this, off the pick, all the rest of it. The way he's able to do it, you're right. It's not just, and I don't want to diminish Ray Allen and what he was as a shooter, but he was, a lot of it was just catch and shoot.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm Ray Allen, you give me the ball, and even if you're on me, I'm going to make it. His shot form was so pure, just boom, catch it, over the head, and I'm going to make it. And Steph does it in so many different ways.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on it. And that's why last night was probably the best example so far of this year of where I think two thoughts come to mind. It's the thing we always do when Steph has one of these kinds of performances. You just throw your hands up. You smile. You end the night both excited, grateful, amazed. You know, I'm walking the dog this morning, and one of my neighbors, a buddy of mine, is out and about, and he like, that's what he kind of called down from his driveway. Hey, what's going on? Hey, you know, how are you? And within moments, he's like, hey, man, I want to know if there's ever been anything like Steph Curry and what that's like on the road and what it's like at home. And that's kind of what the conversation with him that ensued. And I think that's where most Warrior fans are today, where you just look at this and you're like, There isn't. So what's the comp to Curry? Drazen, Petrovic, or anyone in between? There's none. For me, the answer is none. And it's not that I'm not telling you he's the greatest basketball player ever. I'm telling you I've never seen an athlete and an audience have this behavior before. Not in my lifetime.
Yeah, not mine either.
Never seen it.
Well, and I'm thinking about other athletes who have like made me feel this way, and I was not around for Wilt and his heyday, but when Wilt Chamberlain came in, you had never seen a big man able to do what he did, and he averaged 50 a game, and he played every minute that season. He did, actually, there was one game he didn't play all 48, but he averaged more than 48 minutes, and at the time, you didn't have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You had Bill Russell, great defender, but you had never seen a big man that athletic and that skilled as Wilt, and I don't remember that because I wasn't yet born. And then I think about Michael Jordan, and even Jordan, you could look at him and go, well, there was Dominique, who was a lot like Jordan, not as good, but athletic and able to score at all three levels.
Yeah,
exactly. And so beyond that, even in like the baseball part of it, Mark McGwire, when he was doing what he was doing, well, he's just a big dude who hits home runs. And, you know, Babe Ruth did that in the 20s. And so you could close your eyes and imagine, you know, McGwire is just a big dude who hits home runs. And I mentioned Barry Sanders as maybe the biggest comp I could make because as a running back, what he was doing with the speed and the footwork, I had never seen that before in football. But you skip ahead to this, and the way he goes about making 12 threes in 12 different ways, 40-footers, catch and shoot, fade away, off the dribble, in transition, he does it so many different ways. Even like Reggie Miller, when he was like on a heater, a lot of it was, you know, kind of the same way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Reggie off the dribble or off a pick and whatnot. And Steph Curry has made the 40-foot shot makeable for everyone.
Yeah. It's absolutely absurd what
absurd.
He sees. Yeah, what he sees as his range. All right, 888-957-9570. I'd love to dive in kind of to our own question, which is, all right, how you like him now?
How you like me now?
Well, here's some of the emotions that come out of last night. The first one is excitement, but it is combined with relief. Like that's what I find last night's game to be relieving, because now I go, all right, I can tell that you're on the level. You're on the level that we really were hoping that you were on. They are now officially, I think, 18-2 when Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry both play.
Wow.
They're 18-2.
12-0 with that starting lineup.
Yeah, exactly. So you're on the level. However, I still want to see what happens the rest of this week before I believe they are above the level that they're going to need to be to really kind of do the stuff that we're hoping that they'll do over the next couple of months.
If they go 3-1, you have to paint your face.
That's correct.
On Monday.
That's correct.
If they win tomorrow, will you go to Michael's and buy the face paint?
Absolutely. Well, Friday's a busy day. But over the weekend, yes.
Okay, if they get to 2-0,
I think they're going to win Sunday. I think they're going to win Sunday against Houston.
Yeah.
So if they win one of these next two, I think I'm painting my face.
All right.
Anyway, let's get into it. What did last night do for you? What were the emotions? Where does it take your thought about where this Warrior season is going? They've clinched nothing. Minnesota right on their heels. Same with the Clippers. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We're taking your calls for the next 2 hours, and then Steve Kerr joins us on Willard and Dibbs.